So I started meeting with some professors at Villanova University in Philadelphia who have had real inroads with young people, a real conversion hotbed in their department at school, and a group of millennials and a philosopher who's just really good at wrestling with the questions that this current generation is looking at. And together we started just doing tons and tons of research into this. And what came out of it was this project, Heart of Vines, which is a combination of a book and an online course, which really starts with those questions and spends the majority of the time building credibility, getting the head nod with young women that we understand what it is that you're struggling with. And we have solutions here, but we spend a tremendous amount of time identifying what is the problem, what is the angst, what is it that is just not working in your life. And then bit by bit, we introduce the gospel in a different way. And it's been a super exciting project to do with young people. We've had it reviewed by, a number of different editors and different people that work with that younger demographic that have said they haven't seen a project like this before.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to A Reason for Hope podcast. We are here joined by myself, Alanis. What's going on, guys? I'm also here with Mario, our executive director.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
And special guest, Lisa Brenningmeyer. We're so excited to have her on today. Just to give you a little bit of a rundown of who Lisa is, she's a Catholic convert from evangelical Protestantism. We love converts. She's a mom of seven. Is that correct?
Mama seven, that's
Mama
right.
Mama seven, a holy number, beautiful number. And she is actually the founder and CEO of a ministry called Walking with Purpose, which we're going to unpack today. We're also here, a big reason why we're here is to discuss a new book and course that she is releasing called Heart of Vines. So again, we're really excited to dig in. We're excited to have Mario here with us.
Yes.
And have his perspective. I always love having two people because, he has a perspective that I can't quite speak from. He's a dad. He's also a founder of a ministry. So we're just going to pick your brain from these two vantage points today. But can you actually begin by sharing a bit about Walking with Purpose and how the Lord called you into that ministry?
Sure. So yeah, as a mom of seven, I can't say that I set out looking to start an apostolate. Really what I cared about, what was going on in my own parish. And what I was seeing was a lot of young moms coming to Mass and feeling like they were doing the right thing and coming, but so much of their time was spent wrangling kids that they'd go out at the end. And I would talk to them and it would just be like, oh my gosh, I'm just not connecting this to my Monday through Saturday and the rest of my week. And I knew women needed community. I knew I needed community. And having grown up in evangelical Protestant, scripture has always been a super huge part of my life and my closeness to the Lord. And so I just started with a group of eight young moms. We had our kids in the next room and I was writing Bible studies for us that were taking, biblical passages and making them relevant to the lives of young moms. And lo and behold, there was a real hunger for this. And so we just started to grow really, really quickly, maxed out in our parish with about 100 moms and 50 kids in a children's program that I was writing as well. And women from other parishes started hearing about what we were doing and asked me to come and just explain to them what we were doing. And at that point, I wouldn't even say that I really saw myself as a writer at all. I was just creating what was needed for this group. But with time, that has become a huge part of what I do with writing Bible studies that have formed the curriculum of Walking with Purpose. And I think the distinctives of it would really be the fact that there's a strong emphasis on transparent community among the women, of really dropping the mask and being real with one another, but delving into scripture, not just to become smarter, but really as a way in which we can have a heart encounter with the Lord. And while there were a lot of Bible studies out there that I thought did a great job of allowing us to know more about our faith, know about scripture, know God better, I didn't always see that head-to-heart connection. And what I really was after was personal conversion for women and really being able to apply what was being learned, in day-to-day life. And so that's how it all began. And we now have 100,000 women involved in the program in parishes.
Wow.
All across the country. And
amazing.
No longer just in parishes. Now also a lot of women just use it individually or just use it in small groups on their own. And yeah, just a great team of women. It's not at all me. It's a wonderful team of incredible servants that just love to encourage and mentor and help women start these programs in their own areas.
How incredible. There is such a need for this. It really brings me so much peace and joy and consolation knowing that there is a ministry for, because we're seeing such a rise in the Catholic sphere in a proper understanding of the Word of God, even with Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmidt. And I'm glad that you shared the distinction of community as like a focal point within your ministry. Can you also explain why is it important for it to be for women, like catered toward women specifically?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that when I think we approach things, we approach spirituality a little bit differently. I think that we lead with our hearts. Like women, people often ask me, what do you have for men? And I'm like, nothing. I understand the heart of a woman.
Yes.
So I'm pursuing my theology degree from Franciscan, but my BA is in psychology, which one would be like, well, how helpful is that? It's actually very helpful because I really do understand a woman's heart. And we very much bring the heart into the equation, both with the writing and in the way in which women are trained to facilitate these groups. And what we're after is an emotionally healthy spirituality, very much looking at what a woman needs, at what a woman longs for, at the parts of a woman that really need to be spoken to and touched by the Lord. And I'm not saying men don't as well, but I'm not claiming to understand men's needs in the same way that I understand women's.
Come on,
and I think
yes.
women just, I think they share differently when it's all women there. They
right.
You can just add a couple men to the mix and, you know, demeanors change. I think women hold back a little bit. I think women often are afraid of one of two things, of either being too much or not being enough. And those dual voices. Yeah. And I think when they're together with women, sometimes that settles a little bit and they just bring their full selves to the group, which is a real gift.
Yeah, yeah. I you know, I love the way you described it about, you know, the woman going to church with her small kids. That was my life this weekend. I went to church with my grandsons.
Yeah.
And my daughter-in-law, I mean, you know, who's hanging on them? Who needs to be, you know, get the coloring book? And it, like, she's in Mass, but she's not really there mentally. So it's such a need because I see that, and I congratulate her and my son because they're just going to Mass, bringing the kids to Mass, but they're not really gaining anything from it outside of the Eucharist, of course, which is, you know, the graces that the Eucharist brings. But I do see it as such a need because there are other women that I see. It's like, you know, God bless them. That's great, you know, but personally they're not being fed. So this is a great thing that you started. I could certainly see a need just in what I've witnessed, you know, being a grandfather. And seeing these women that are so courageous and bringing their kids to the faith in this way, how do people find out about it? How do people these groups? I think I know it's important for men. Men are not as vocal as women are, but women like to talk to one another.
Yeah.
So I could see the benefit of, you know, that relationship and reinforcement that women have. So how do you get the word out?
So for our first, I would say, 8 years of the apostolate, it was purely word of mouth. And it was that women were experiencing something truly life-changing. And so they were telling their friends and they were telling their sisters across the country. So we grew really, really quickly by word of mouth. Now, I would say if you wanted to find us, the best thing to do is to go to our website, walkingwithpurpose.com. You can find us on social. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Insta, Facebook, Pinterest, and that keeps you up to date. But if you are interested in starting a program or joining a group, the website's the best place to start. You can pop in, you know, your geographical region, and we can connect you with people both to just get you into a group or to help you start one.
Something that came to mind when Mary was speaking actually was a verse from Hebrews. Do you know that verse where it says, we do not have a high priest that can't sympathize with our weaknesses? And for some reason, that just like connected me to you, not connecting like God's divinity to you at all. But it really is so awesome that in the midst of catering towards women who are so busy and are trying to have a spiritual life and a relationship with our Lord in the midst of whether it's owning a business or having a busy schedule with work or being a mom of even like a mom of two or a mom of one, that's a lot to handle. But you have tackled all of this and yet you've still been able to, I guess, master the season and really hone in on your relationship with the Lord, which is so awesome and so precious. So can you just walk us through that? Like, how has it been for you managing all of that, but also making sure that Jesus is the center of it all?
Oh, I love that question so much. Someone was talking to me about me the other day and said how they've enjoyed watching me chase my calling. And they were talking about walking with purpose. And I corrected them. And I'm like, you have not watched me chase my calling, walking with purpose. My calling is to my family primarily. And you have watched me obey the Lord in what he has set before me, what he's asked me to do. But this is his ministry, his apostolate. And if that priority gets out of whack, I really do believe the Lord does not bless something in that same way. And some of my early writings were around priorities. That kind of formed the beginning of what I was talking about. And it really was this, that we put God first, then our husband next, then our children. Like, you don't get to actually apostolic work and those things outside your home until the very, very end. And when we start to switch all of that around, which is always tempting to do, because the thing with any kind of work, apostolic work, you know, or just, you know, any sort of secular job we might be doing, you get immediate feedback. You get an immediate sense of, I finished that. I did that. That's really satisfying. And everything we're pouring into our families, boy, that is the long game. And quite frankly, same with the Lord, right? It's a journey with him. But it's really, for me, always been a matter of truly the first thing in the day, the Lord gets my attention and my time at daybreak. Like, that has been something since I was in college as a young mom, a real non-negotiable. When I was going through those seasons when I had a small baby and I was up a lot in the night, then I wasn't necessarily getting up at daybreak to give him that time. But then I looked for my first pocket of quiet and it was his. And that to me has been a principle that I've rarely compromised on. And if I ever do, I do so with regret. So giving him that time has been huge. And then giving my family my next time. So I wrote the Bible studies in those early years, purely during my child's, you know, whoever the current baby was, during that nap time. So I was super, super consistent with good sleep. Like, I really believe in the importance of good sleep and schedules and those things, just for everybody's overall happiness and well-being, but also because I would have them down at 12:30. I would get them up at 2:30 to go do the school runs and everything. And during that 2-hour period, I would write one day's worth of Bible study lessons. And a distinctive of the Walking with Purpose Bible studies is that every week's lesson is divided into days. And what I'm trying to do is to train you in having a daily meditation and saying, this is enough time. Like, these are enough questions to ask. This is a closing, you know, prayer that kind of gets you going with your own thoughts. And you can do it in about 15 minutes, which we all actually do have that time. We don't feel like we do, but we just let it get sucked up with other stuff, right? And so whatever I was going to give a woman for a day's worth of Bible study, I would write that during a nap time. And that was just my schedule for, I guess, probably about 7 years. And I really think that God has blessed that prioritizing. He multiplies my hours. He works through my weakness. There's not a time that I get up to speak or sit down to write when I don't feel inadequate for the task. And always, I mean, that's the steady reality. And he meets me there in my weakness. And when I just turn to him in dependence and just acknowledge that any good that's going to come is going to come from him, that's when I discover the gold, because he does it. But my side of it is the discipline of putting him first, not just in theory, you know, but in my time and my calendar. And then next, you know, putting my family first.
That's such a great tip. I can't affirm and enforce that even more. It took me a long time actually to figure it out as a man, you know, God, marriage, family, and then your work. It was kind of warped in my life. Work was always the first thing, you know, and it took a long time for me to recognize as I grew my relationship with the Lord that nothing works unless you put the Lord first. You know, the Lord strengthens our marriage and our marital sacrament, right? And if your marriage is strong, your family is going to be strong. So it's very logical, and I love the way you laid that out, but most people don't get it. And it makes total sense to me,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Alanis is, she's engaged to be married. She's going to be married in May. And she's got a great, great man in her life. And they've already got this worked out, which is such a blessing. But I don't know if you want to add to that.
Yeah. And I think that's something you actually touch on in your book, Walking with Purpose, like 7 points, is that, or seven mm-hmm. structures? What's the wording that you use
seven
there?
Priorities that
seven
make
priorities.
Life work.
Come
amazing.
On. Amazing. Okay. So that's your book, Walking with Purpose. I do want to delve into this topic of your new book and your new course. Can you give us a synopsis of what this is about and how it differs from Walking with Purpose too?
Sure. I would love to. And if you can just permit me to back up a little bit to why we decided this was a project that needed to be taken on.
Yes.
Years ago, my daughter came to me. She at the time was going into seventh grade. And she said, why is it that you do all these things for women and you don't do anything for girls my age? And I said to her, well, because I don't think girls your age really want to hear from your middle-aged mother. And she said to me, well, you haven't even tried. And I said, okay, well, if you will work with me, then I would love to try something, you know, at our local Catholic school. So Jane and I together developed a curriculum, which we titled Blaze, and it's all based on truth versus lies. So the lies that our culture feeds middle school-age girls, and then we counter it with the truths of scripture. And so that became a really wonderful course offering that can be used in schools, can be used just for mothers to mentor their daughters one-on-one and in small groups. So that was developed. And then we were like, okay, well, now we've got them moving into high school. We need something for high school girls. And so we developed a program called Sisters of Strength, which I really, really love. And that was based on about 7 years of research with high school girls, figuring out what worked and what didn't work. And it's really based on the questions high school girls are asking. And we're starting with their questions and leading them to the Lord, but starting not like with prayer, starting with what they want to talk about, which is actually friendship and identity and purpose. And then we lead them to the Lord as the ultimate answer of those things, but while first answering those questions. And then we've adapted our women's Bible studies for young adults. And so we have a whole series of 6 young adult Bible studies. So it seemed like we're set. We grab hold of a girl, you know, around the 6th, 7th grade age, which is a really pivotal time when girls and guys make decisions for or against Christ. So if you were to be asked the question, what age do you think is the age at which a person is most likely to decide for or against Christ? Like, think about what you would think that age is. Mm. So research has been done on this, and they found that there are 2 times in a person's life when you are most open and most apt to choose Christ. And one of those ages is 12, and the other age is 20, 21, just that point in college where you're really making these decisions for yourself. So that's why we started with Blaze, because we thought better to grab hold of girls before they leave and keep feeding them something than to go try and chase them down as women when they're already looking for a sense of belonging and hope and love and security and all the things that we're after, but looking in places other than to the Lord. So we thought we had that nailed. We're like, we're starting with age 12. We've got something good to offer all the way through till you are, you know, 90. But what we found in our research is that young women, you know, especially like college age and beyond the 20s, are not turning to scripture as that answer. So we may have this really great Bible study offering, which if they would do it, it would actually bring a lot of things into clearer focus and would really help them in very practical ways. But if they're not thinking the answers are in scripture, if they're actually thinking, I kind of already gave all of this a try, like my parents took me to Mass growing up, you know, went to Catholic school, been there, done that, didn't really make that big a difference for me. Now we've got a very different situation because there's actually pre-evangelization that's got to start going on. And you've got to actually win them back to the fact that you actually do understand what it is that they're struggling with. You do understand the questions of their heart, and you're not presenting them with solutions when you haven't yet gotten that point of connection where they actually trust that you understand what I'm searching for. So I started meeting with some professors at Villanova University in Philadelphia who have had real inroads with young people, a real conversion hotbed in their department at school, and a group of millennials, and a philosopher who's just really good at wrestling with the questions that this current generation is looking at. And together we started just doing tons and tons of research into this. And what came out of it was this project, Heart of Vines, which is a combination of a book and an online course, which really starts with those questions and spends the majority of the time building credibility, getting the head nod with young women that we understand what it is that you're struggling with. And we have solutions here, but we spend a tremendous amount of time identifying what is the problem, what is the angst, what is it that is just not working in your life. And then bit by bit, we introduce the gospel in a different way. And it's been a super exciting project to do with young people. We've had it reviewed by, you know, a number of different editors and different people that work with that younger demographic that have said they haven't seen a project like this before. There's a lot out there that immediately is offering you the solutions, but not a lot that really takes the time to really respect the questions and the difficulties and the doubts and the skepticism that so many young people have. And so we approach it with tremendous respect for where they are and build from there. And so, yes, the book is called Heart of Vines. And then there's an online course. If you prefer to consume content that way, that's going to be on an app. And so there's short videos, nothing's more than about 10, 12 minutes. And there's a journal that you could buy to go along with it. But if you don't want to buy the journal, you can just do the questions on your own to really help you start processing through these new ways of looking at things and really encouraging young women to doubt their own doubts. Okay, things that they've kind of set aside and said, you know what, that didn't work for me. It's like, are you sure? Are you sure that there wasn't something there that actually could be helping you right now at this moment in life? Because what have you chosen instead? And is that actually working for you? Is that actually bringing you the things that it promised? Because what I would suggest is that what the world promises is it's achievement. That's what's going to make you happy. It's finding the soulmate. It's being chosen. It's being in that relationship. That's going to make you happy. Oh, if you belong, if you have a community where you belong, that'll do it for you. Oh, it's just having the next thing. It's having that better apartment. It's having that better car. That's going to make you happy. And what we do is we unpack each of these stories that we buy into to really explore, even if you get those things, is it bringing the deep satisfaction that you think it will? And what we know is that it doesn't. It doesn't deliver on those promises. Even if you succeed in all those areas, there is still an ache. And that ache is to be received and to be loved just as you are, with a love that really only comes from the Lord. We as people can really try to offer that, and we can offer it well, but we're still human. And to have that love relationship with God is something that settles us in a way that nothing else does. And we very, very slowly introduce young women to what that is like, what that relationship is like, and how available it is to them.
Alanis, I know you could speak to this, but I just wanted to make a point of something that happened in my life. So I raised three girls. There is a discrepancy in age, quite a difference. My oldest one is 34. Then I have a 30-year-old, and then I have a surprise daughter, Mary, who's 20. And the two daughters that I raised that are older was totally different, in a totally different culture, in a totally different time period, that my 20-year-old daughter is experiencing things much, much differently because of the culture, because of the church, because of even COVID. She came out of COVID. So this is so timely because I think young girls today are suffering, are having difficulties, an enormous amount of stress and anxiety that I've seen that I've never seen in my older daughters. And also the propensity, more suicide discussions, more girls are saying that I want to die. It's like, I've never heard. And as a parent, it's like, I've never dealt with this. Like, yeah. How do you deal with this stuff that's going on, you know, today in our culture? Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you want to add to that, and we do a lot of retreats as an organization. And over the years, you could tell that, you know, young people, and in particular, young women are very different.
Yeah. First of all, this is incredible. My goodness, as you were speaking, I'm like, So many women don't believe that they were created for such a time as this. And so just revealing to them that, like, actually, no, this, you're created to be seen, known, and loved. And Jesus has this type of love for you that can't be found in anything that tries to fill that void in this, on this earth. But just as you were sharing all of this, it just, I was hit with this overwhelming realization that as you're writing this book that's like renouncing these lies in these women's lives, the Lord was almost doing that for you, where you were like, I shouldn't write this book because no one needs to hear from me. And so it's so cool that he was bringing healing to you in that time, because quite frankly, you have an authority that as an elder, and I don't even mean that in your age, like as a spiritual elder, you have an authority that, for instance, I or many other women won't be able to speak into, just because we haven't been given that authority to speak into the challenges quite yet, because we're still in the midst of it. So it's just awesome that the Lord's been able to bring just a rebuking, a renouncing of any lies you believed, because this will, I'm believing and I'm so expectant that this is going to bring just so much redemption in so many women's lives. So
I love that you brought that up. I love that you brought that up, because something that's super important to know about this project is I co-authored this book with a millennial girl. And the way that we, and the whole project was worked on with a team of millennials. And so what was really important when we were discussing how this was all going to, like how we were going to co-author a book, was that I did have that voice of someone who has walked through this, has found the things that work, and I'm walking this out in my life, but I co-wrote it with someone who is still in process. And so her name is Katie, and so Katie was able to share her voice, which was super helpful, I think, in young women being able to say, okay, I'm where you're at. Like, I relate to you. And then I was able to speak in that. And I think that we need both of those voices, but you're right. There is an authority that comes with having walked this path. And I just, if we've got any listeners today who are mothers or fathers who are super discouraged about the very things that you were just describing with your daughters, the way things have changed. I have a daughter a decade. So I have a 12-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 32-year-old. And so
wow. I thought I was the only one.
Yeah, and boys in between. Boys in between. But I so relate to what you're saying, because I've seen this shift.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think what I see so often, especially with women, is women are like, I don't even know, moms are like, I don't even know what to do. Like and maybe you've had an older child where it kind of worked, right? And you're with, you know, younger daughters or granddaughters, and you're just like, I don't even know what to do or what to say. And I think we get really quiet, because with what's going on in our culture, we're so quick to be afraid that we're going to be seen as haters. We're going to be seen as judgmental. And we're like, well, how do I stay true to what I know to be true in my faith, not, you know, dumb it down or compromise, but still speak into a generation which is very quick to feel like you have literally no idea and you don't love. You don't love my friends. You don't love my friends with this experience. And I think I see so many parents who are paralyzed. And to those parents, I want to say, you have a spiritual authority over your children. And your voice is desperately needed. I think we are getting quiet at a time when our voices are most needed. But I think we need to be very, very careful about how we speak. And I think we don't lead with the moral decisions that other people in other communities are making. We lead from a place of love, right? Where we are speaking into these things. And what I think this book and this course does is we do that work for you. Parents who are like, I don't even know what to say. I feel like I've already lost my daughter. She's not interested. I'm dragging her to Mass at Christmas, and that's about as good as it's getting. And this is a resource that you can put into your daughter's hands, that you can gift to her. And we have worked really hard to get the tone and the voice right, and to start in places that are not going to alienate quickly, right? That build that bridge back to them. We've done that work for you, but your voice is needed. Your authority is needed. And please, like moms and dads, like let's not lay down in discouragement at a time when we are so desperately, desperately needed.
Yeah, yeah. To affirm that, I think the don't give up, be consistent. And I love what you said, you know, doubt their own doubts. I've been using that forever. I thought I was an original. I didn't realize that you thought of it too. The Holy Spirit must be working in a multiple of ways. I think keying in on someone's personal beliefs and questioning them, allowing them to doubt, is very, very powerful. You know, it's really brings the Holy Spirit as a partner, because all you're doing is planting those seeds of really questioning what they're saying. And of course, as a father with the three daughters, I have to be very calculated as to when I speak those kinds of words, because women are emotional and their emotions drive a lot of the way they think, at least in my experience. So you have to find the times where they're really open to allowing to hear what you have to say. Often as a parent, they're just not hearing you. You know, you could speak all day long and the words are not penetrating them because they're overwhelmed by their personal circumstance, which is encompassing. So then that's all they see. You know, all they see is what's in front of them. So to introduce them to God, something that they may not have a relationship with, is very, very foreign and very difficult. So I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome what you're doing. I think it's so needed. I think it's so powerful. That's great.
Can I go back to something that you had said earlier, Alanis, about lies? And I just love that you brought that up, because I think that's a huge part of the journey that we are endeavoring to lead a young woman on. So there are three parts to the Heart of Ayin's journey. And the reason for the title, it's actually based on a John Bellion song. And it's this idea that our hearts have all sorts of vines that wind around it. And some of those are things, decisions we've made that have really not been good ones for us. And a lot of it is lies that we have believed about ourselves, about God, about our purpose. And so we spend a lot of time not right away talking about God. In fact, we don't mention God until at least a third away of the way through the course in the book. We spend a lot of time encouraging these young women to look at your hearts and say, what are the vines that are slowly choking out the life that is in you? And a lot of time around the identity lies that we believe. And I think that when you describe, you know, the high level of suicide, the mental health issues that young women are facing right now, so much of that is rooted in believing lies about their identity. And so we start there to start looking at these things going, you know, is this a faulty belief that I've taken on? And it's so different from the way that God sees us. And so the beginning section of Heart of Ayin is called Uproot. It's like, what are the lies that we've got to uproot, or the habits that we have to uproot out of the jungle, you know, the mess of the garden of our hearts? So we pull those out in the first section. And then it's like, okay, now what do we need to cultivate? So uproot's the first section. The second section is cultivate. What are the truths about who I am, about who God is, about the world that I live in, that I need to cultivate in my heart? Because if you just pull out the lie, it's just going to get replaced by another one if primarily you're just listening to whatever is out there. And then this third section is called flourish. So if you want to have really a flourishing garden, then we're going to actually need a trellis. If you think about a tomato plant, if you just plant the tomato and just hope it's going to grow well just on the ground, it's going to rot. You need a trellis, and then things can grow up onto it. So what's the trellis that we need to build in our own lives as women in order to have this, all these things we've gained, this new way of seeing ourselves, of seeing God, of seeing the world, really be our default rather than the other? And so then we start to talk about the spiritual disciplines. But lies and truth continue to be a very big part of this offering in Heart of Ayin as well.
This is incredible. There's even, I'm noticing how much work has even gone into the research, the conversations, even with the Villanova conversation that you were saying, the statistics that have gone into it. And I remember hearing an interview with you where you mentioned that your Walking with Purpose book was written in a weekend, a weekend, right? So was there a difference there? How long did it take you to write this book? And yeah, I guess just like, what differences did you encounter while writing it?
What a great question. Yeah, I wrote Walking with Purpose in a weekend. I got snowed in and I had a tub of frosting and a box of graham crackers, and I just sat on the couch and ate it. And my family was skiing and I wasn't able to get to the resort, and I wrote the book on the weekend. This was very, very different. This took us from start to finish. It was a 4-year project. And it was one that at so many different points we wanted to quit. And the spiritual attack that each one of us involved has gone under personally. And it was very interesting. We did a bunch of research and we just reached this point where we looked at one another and I just remember the moment. We're like, this has not been done before. This is like, all of a sudden it became something where we were like, I have got to get this finished for this person, for this person. There was a fire and an excitement and we were just about to crest that hill when things started happening in our personal lives that caused everything to grind to a halt. And it would have been the easiest thing in the world to quit. But the timing of it all was very interesting. And I'm like, ooh, the enemy showed his hand. Like, it was just a little too close. I'm like, he does not want this out there. Because we are going after territory that he is occupying that does not belong to him.
Yep.
This is a course in a book that's written for our kids that have been baptized, our kids that have, you know, tasted it, but have walked away. It's going to be effective for someone who's never been introduced to any of it as well. But like, I wrote it for our kids because that's not the enemy's territory. And I want to see parents going after their kids in this way. And so, yeah, it took a long time. It was much, much harder. And to be honest, personally, it required spending the majority of my time in the land of the skeptics, in the land of doubters. And that is, it's a lot more fun to write for women who are like, I'm so ready to grow. Will you just give me one more thing so I can grow closer to Jesus? I'm like, let's go. That's fun and easy to write. When you really have to get into the mindset of someone who has decided this is not working for me and it's irrelevant, and you spend all your time there in their questions, that can be a spiritually hard place to be. And I had to really increase my own spiritual disciplines, daily mass, the sacraments, to make sure that things were being countered, because you spend too long focused on your doubts, listening to all of that, that impacts your mindset. And I think that's where a lot of our young women are. That's what's getting their time, right? Think about all the algorithms and how it just keeps feeding you more and more of what you're doubting, right? So it was a much harder project. It's a really insightful and kind of fun question to answer.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so incredible to get the inside scoop of the process that went into it, because I'm sure if you read the book side by side, it would seem like it took the same amount, because ultimately it's Holy Spirit led. Whether it took 4 years, 2 days, you have an anointing and a call and you've been so obedient. And so I really commend you. Literally, as you were speaking, I was getting emotional just because I can feel the Lord's hand, which is interesting that you said the enemy showed his hand at one point. But I just feel like the Lord's hand over this project and in such an immense way. And I know that there's going to be a huge shift in femininity and people just stepping into their women, stepping into their identity as daughter, which is so necessary. So I just thank you so much for your yes. I thank you so much for coming on here and just sharing your heart about this book. But if there's anything else that you wanted to share, point people to your website or allow people to get involved with your ministry, we'd love to just share that with our audience.
Yeah, I just would take a moment to speak again. Moms, your daughters desperately need you. And do not give up on them. Do not get discouraged. This is not the end of the story. The darkness that is surrounding our girls and the darkness is real. Your love, your prayers can pierce that. And all it takes is one small candle to dispel darkness, right? So do not be discouraged. I want to encourage each and every one of you, get this book or get this course into the hands of your daughter, and then pray like everything depends on it. That's the key. What we want is a shift in the heavenlies. What we want is the Holy Spirit to move in the hearts of our daughters. He can do this in an instant. Your child can have had 15 years of utter rebellion, of utter closed-heartedness to all these things, and in an instant, that can be pierced. But where that happens is in the spiritual realm. So it is your prayers more than anything that is so needed. So do not give up. Do not lose hope. There is always a reason to hope. The Lord is faithful. The need that your daughter has will be met in Jesus. This isn't just empty platitudes. This is real. This is what she's longing for. This is what she needs. And your prayers will make all the difference.
Awesome.
Amen. What a good word. I hope that's so encouraging to so many people listening. Well, thank you again, Lisa, for coming on. This was truly a gift.
It really was.
And to everyone who is listening, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will chat with you guys in the next episode. God bless
you, Lisa. Peace.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of A Reason for Hope podcast. If you haven't already done so, please like, share, follow, and subscribe. Until next time, peace.